This is Turner Mining Live, where we give you a behind-the-scenes look at how we're innovating to change the game and grow a business in an ancient but still booming industry. Hey guys, what's up? It's Keaton Turner. We are back. We're doing another podcast. To my right is the guy that keeps me out of trouble.
We're back.
Thomas Hahn.
We are back.
I had to click record because we got a guy in here and we've been talking and laughing, and he brought us some treats, and so we're going to talk about what that is. But sitting across from me, I have our very own Eric. I'm going to say Thran, but is it Tran?
Tron.
Tron?
Tron.
Tron.
So like the movie.
We had Austin on here last. I couldn't pronounce his last name correctly.
Yeah, that's okay.
Jared calls you Tran. I say Thran because it's T-H-R-A-N.
Yep.
It's Tron. Tron. I love that.
I like that, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So...
it's like Thomas. You know, the H doesn't really, like, kind of play a prominent part.
Yeah, it's should be T-O-M-A-N.
Tomas.
So you drove from Texas to Bloomington. Yeah. You're sitting here in the office. We're in the studio. We're in my office,
yeah,
actually.
Yeah.
And out from the cooler comes ice cold... brewed in Wisconsin, only in Wisconsin, employee-owned, new, how do you pronounce this, Thomas?
New Glarus.
New Glarus Brewing Company Spotted Cow.
Spotted Cow, one of the great beers in the world. You are going to love this
beer. I've heard about this beer for a long time.
This is like 10 out of 10 beer.
And you can only buy it in Wisconsin.
Only in Wisconsin. That's it.
And they don't, I'm confused, if it's that good, why don't they distribute it?
They don't want to deal with the taxes, regulations.
We would drive across state lines and go buy this beer.
Okay, first sip.
This beer.
One sip. Everybody knows the rules. That's pretty phenomenal.
it's good.
Yeah, we're not even getting paid to pitch this, but it's really good.
No, although if they ever wanted to get into sponsoring podcasts, we'd be available.
We would probably work something out. Yeah. So on the can, it's got a big image of the state of Wisconsin with a thumbprint, like only in Wisconsin, and it even says it in huge letters. So they are Wisconsin proud. Oh,
yeah. Very proud.
Very proud. So who is Eric Tron?
Yeah.
What does Eric Tron do? Where'd you come from? Are you a Wisconsin guy? Give the listeners, like, I don't know, 2 minutes of who you are. How'd you get here? What are you doing?
Originally from Minnesota, then met my wife. We started dairy farming in Wisconsin.
At what age?
28.
Dairy farmer at 28. I've heard that's a hard gig.
And you didn't grow up in it then?
No. She did.
Okay.
She did. We took over her dad's dairy operation and got into the frac sand mining in Wisconsin 10 years ago.
Yeah.
End up meeting Jason.
You were
up there, worked with him there.
He's a dandy.
Then went down to Texas, frac sanding, and met Jared Baker down there.
Also a dandy.
Also a dandy. two phenomenal guys.
And he brought me up to the Ohio site that Turner had up there a little over a year ago, and currently down in the Texas sites, working
in the heat
with the machinery on the mechanical end of things.
Yeah. So I got to ask, and there's a saying in the industry: if it's not farmed, it's mined.
Exactly.
Right? And everybody's heard that. What makes you go from? And we're going to talk about your wife. I don't want to gloss over this because she is. People say, oh, my better half. She's like your better 5/8.
Pretty much 3/4.
Yeah, 3/4. How do you go from 28, I'm going to be on a dairy farm and I'm doing dairy farm, which I've heard is really hard work, early mornings. Yep. How do you go from that into frac sand? What gets you into that?
At that time, the frac sand industry was booming.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially up there, up Northern there, White.
Yep. Northern White. The dairy farm market was in the toilet.
Yeah.
So I needed to support the farm. Got into that and just fell in love with it.
I mean, I think it's what a lot of people get into mining for. They see opportunity. It's normally like great wages because they're trying to hire people. You know, they have trouble hiring people.
Yep.
what was your first role? And, you know, how, because you're a guy, and again, I don't know you super well, so we're going to do a lot of like discovery and learning here today, but you're a guy that, and I've heard this from everyone, you can jump in and do anything. You can run a plant, you can run equipment, you can help, you know, do maintenance things on mobile equipment. What was your first job, and then what, you know, how did it evolve from there?
My first job actually was a laborer.
Really?
Yep. Boots on the ground, shovel in the hand.
Yeah. At what age? 10 years ago.
43.
Okay,
so that is so. Oh my gosh, this is amazing! I can't wait.
How many 24-year-olds that are making $100,000 listen to this just roll their eyes? Like, how does the guy?
Yeah.
I mean, it's really interesting, and we talk about this all the time. We talked about it with Austin. We talked about it with Paul and Cade, and you know, Blaine and some others. How do you set aside your ego at 43 to be a laborer, which on any site that you've ever been on, that's like the bottom of the totem pole, right?
Yep. Yeah. Entry-level role.
Entry-level role, but it was good-paying job, support the family, and opportunity to grow.
Yeah, and you're used to hard labor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that didn't bother me. And within a couple months, running the wash plant, and 6 months later, being a supervisor.
That's amazing.
So just willingness to work.
So
there is a ton right in that.
Willingness to work. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we could go so many different directions with this, but I think the fact that you had, you know, probably had some confidence in yourself. Oh, I'll go in as a laborer. I know I'm not going to do that forever.
Right.
Right. And you figure out, yeah, I'm going to go be a wash plant operator and run that for a while. And then you're a supervisor. What do you see? Because you were at a very interesting project with us in Ohio where there was a lot of people, right? There were some young guys. There was a lot more seasoned guys and older guys that have been around and done some things. I think Jared has built 15 of these plants across the country, right? Something like that. What do you see now compared to your mentality of I'm going to jump in as a laborer at 42 and work my way into a supervisor position and pretty quickly? What do you see now with generations? And it might not even be young guys. It might even be 42-year-old guys now.
Yeah. There's some that just some people are just there to collect a paycheck. They're not worried about moving up. No interest in it. It's something to fill their void. Then there's some that they want to learn.
Yeah.
They're in there doing whatever they can to help things out.
Yeah.
And they're talking to people with more experience learning.
Yeah.
And asking questions.
Yeah.
And letting everybody else know that they want to move up.
Yeah. And that's, I think, that's a huge part of it is you know, the squeaky wheel gets the grease, right? And if there's that new guy or young guy who doesn't have the experience, but he keeps pestering a supervisor every day, hey, let me have a shot in this. Let me run that. Let me try this. Eventually, he gets a shot.
Well, yes. And you also heard they started from a place of learning. They didn't start from a place of asking for the next thing. They started by saying, hey, how are you doing that? Hey, how can I learn about that? Like, I think there's a lot buried in what Eric's saying. Like, yes, squeaky wheel gets the grease, but you know what probably gets the grease first? The person that's already side by side with that more experienced person.
Yeah.
Yep.
Because then they don't have to squeak that much, right? Like, they're already there. They're already the go-to. They're already the right hand.
Yeah.
They're showing the interest on wanting to learn.
Yeah.
Which sometimes they don't even ask, but they're showing they're there all the time, and you go, this is the next step. Yeah. This is the next step.
Yeah. And we've all seen the warm body. Like,
yes.
And I think it's kind of like a cancer that grows throughout the crew, right? If there's one warm body, 3 weeks later, there's like, oh, he's got a buddy. So there's two warm bodies now. And the people just check out. It's like walking zombies. We've all seen. Anyway, I'm going to move on because we could go down a rabbit hole and it's a little bit depressing, but it's a real issue in the industry. So you're in frac sand.
Yep.
We all know what happened with Northern White, especially when, you know, West Texas boomed like it did in the frac sand market. What took you from where you were as a supervisor? What'd you do after that?
Went out to West Texas, actually took a role step back, was wash plant operator out there. And
what part of West Texas?
Kermit.
Oh, you're West Texas. Yeah.
New Mexico is right at the end of the driveway.
You could throw a football. Yeah.
Yep. And then went over to East Texas as a wash plant manager and moved into the maintenance, more into the maintenance side of things there.
So I think it's interesting when you talk about going from a dairy farmer to 42, you're a laborer in a frac sand mine. You move up to a supervisor, and you're in Wisconsin, right? How long have you been in Wisconsin?
At that time, since I was 28, so for 15, 20 years.
And you pick up and move to far West Texas, which is I mean, that's not like a, you know, a destination spot. No. You know, it's not a tourist destination. It's not a retirement. But you moved to West Texas. Why'd you move to West Texas?
Just going out there with, you know, my knowledge of the frac sand, and that's where the market was growing.
Yeah.
And initially, it was just, I was going to go down, work, come home, go back to Wisconsin. Our son had already moved out of the house, established in his life. And my wife discovered that she liked the winters in Texas.
So a little, a little different than Wisconsin.
So this is a Deanne decision, is what you're saying.
Well, we both talked about it. So she found a job down there on a large farm. She was taking care of 3,500 dairy calves.
In Texas?
In Texas.
I did not know that.
Yeah, Central Texas.
Wow.
And then once a year and a half ago, she decided to get all that, and we came to Ohio.
Yeah. So a year and a half ago, you guys picked up, and you moved back across the country. And you both decided to move. And I don't know whose idea this was, but this is one of the topics I want to talk about. You guys both decided to come work for us.
Yes.
And?
Well, actually, the first offer we turned down.
I remember that. I wasn't going to bring that up.
I love that.
That's a shot right to my ego.
No, that is perfect.
It's this open forum.
Yeah, you should have brought a lot more beer. We're going to talk about declined offers.
No.
So the company I was with, Deanne had done a whole bunch of Spanish translating.
Oh, really?
Yep. She's very fluent in it. I had turned my notice and we were ready to start packing. And my boss had given me 24 hours. I want to make Deanne an offer. Well, in the meantime, he had talked with Mr. Baker.
Ah.
And so why the hell are you stealing my people?
Oh, no way. I didn't know this.
And he actually came back, good offer, and Jared said, explore it. You know?
That is wild.
If you don't like it, we'll find you a spot.
Really?
Yep.
So what happens after that? You turn down our offer because you got a counter, which you're welcome for getting a better job, a better rate, or a raise, I should say. So you're welcome for that. What happens after that?
I was a project manager on a repair crew.
Okay.
In West Texas. So we'd go to different frac sand plants and do repairs.
So how long did it take for you to go from that to seeing the light? I'll call it seeing the light.
6 months.
6 months, yeah. Okay.
But what I like is, I mean, there is a thread through this. Opportunity.
Yeah. Oh, exactly.
I mean, every move you're making, whether it's staying, whether it's moving halfway across the country, I mean, it is a constant pursuit of opportunity. I mean, I love that. And again, to hear that come from someone who was willing to restart in their early 40s, that is...
Well, my favorite people, and we talked about a guy earlier this week who is a little bit like this, or I should say a lot like this. My favorite people are coin-operated people. And what I mean by that is you put a quarter in, they do a trick, right? And then they're done. And they want another quarter. You put another quarter in, they do a trick. And what that means is, like, these are people that know their worth. They know that they're valuable. They know they're skilled or talented in a certain thing. Typically, it's sales. You know, we hear coin-operated sales roles. And it's like, yeah, this guy's expensive, but I know the return he's going to give the company. Every coin-operated person that I've ever dealt with knows how valuable they are.
Yes.
And they negotiate for themselves. Like, when you get an offer, you're like, yeah, well, I just got a counter offer. So the ball's in your court. What are you going to do?
Yep.
Those people I know are successful. Because if your boss is going to give you a counter offer, that makes me so much more excited, because I'm like, oh, I know I got the right guy. Let's figure out how to get him.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, 100%. 100%.
So that's a compliment. You're a coin-operated guy.
Well, and again, it's what I think the danger in being purely coin-operated is you think short-term transactionally. What I actually like, what we're hearing about Eric, is there is the specific opportunity sitting in front of him and where that leads. He said it in every single move.
Yeah.
You know, even when he saw the light, right? Like he joined us because he saw the specific short-term thing that we needed him to come join and help us with. But he also saw where growth would be, where it could take him even beyond just, you know, if you're thinking about an operator, the extra dollar an hour. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wonder if I don't get a counter, if I'm searching for a guy and it's a guy that I know is an important role and their boss doesn't give them a counter offer and kind of, you know, I'm doing air quotes, but beg them to stay. I wonder, is that guy the level of person I thought they were? You know, if your boss didn't make you a counter offer.
So actually, the offer that he gave me was the same, but the opportunity he gave to Deanne.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And she wanted to get into the industry?
She was ready to get out of the dairy.
Really?
Because there too, she had done it really her whole life.
Hmm.
Very physically demanding, very time demanding.
Yeah.
And we wanted to be able to have the opportunity of time for ourselves.
Sure.
So fast forward, you guys finally see the light. You decide you're both working for your previous, you know, company. Jared, I don't know, did Jared just keep pestering you or?
We always talk.
Yeah.
We're always talking. And it's a little bit of pestering, a little bit of, hey, is there an opportunity up there?
Yeah. So you guys both get an offer from us.
Yes.
Is that right? Yep. Or is it just you?
Nope, both of us.
Because we should have just offered Deanne, and then he probably came for free. So Deanne is your wife. You both decide, pick up, leave West Texas. You're coming to middle of nowhere, Ohio.
I mean, West Texas isn't a destination.
Yeah. Well, it's hard to compare anything to Kermit, but this is still pretty much middle of nowhere, Ohio. I mean, it's a little more beautiful. There's actually trees.
There's green hills.
Water. I don't want to put you in a tough spot. How in the world? Because my wife listens to this, so I'm not going to put myself in a tough spot. And your wife probably listens to this too, doesn't she?
Yes, I know.
How in the world do you work with your wife?
Easily.
Oh, my goodness. That's amazing.
Anybody that's been on site, could tell you, we're co-workers inside the gate, husband and wife outside the gate.
That is the most mind-blowing concept. I didn't expect you to say that.
Yeah.
My wife is a saint. She is my best friend. I love her to death. If she walk, and she'll come into the office and she'll have lunch and she'll bring the kids and it's fun for 15 minutes.
Yeah.
I don't know how somebody could work with their wife, because I mean, you know how it is. There's conflict in marriage, and even the most amazing marriage, there's always conflict, right? Not always conflict. there are times when there are conflict.
Yeah.
On the job that you guys were on in Ohio, there's a lot of conflict.
We're not talking about in the marriage. We're talking about on the job.
It's a challenging site. Yep. Mud. You're on the river. You're at the water table. It's tough on equipment. I mean, it is a tough job. We're starting a brand new greenfield mine. So this is like never before been done in this area for this material. It was a lot of conflict. how in the world do you guys, both of you guys, put your hat, your hard hats on, go through the gate, and I'm a coworker? Like, does that not spill into, like, home life?
There's a little bit of carryover, but not much. Just, you got to remember, we dairy farmed for 25 years together.
See, that there, and there it is.
Yeah, it's,
and dairy farming is hard. Like, yeah. you got to make it work. Like, yeah. and you're even working on other things in addition to it to help support. I mean, it's...
So do you, because I really want to understand, because I think this is probably, if anything, teaching me, you know, if I say, well, I couldn't work with my wife, it for me specifically, it's because I know my ego and my pride would get in the way, and I got to be the macho, I got to be the husband, like, let me, like.
Oh, no.
No?
No.
Really?
Yeah, because she's a very physical person. She will outwork half the guys we had on the site.
Is that right?
Yeah. And she knew those were my expectations.
Really?
Yeah.
And so you guys, I mean, and maybe you're just forged in fire with 20 years of dairy farming together. I don't know. But I mean,
31 years.
31 years.
Being together, married for 28.
So this is so fascinating.
Well, and maybe there's something in that too.
How much spotted cow did you have to drink over those 30? I mean, I really think I'm not going to get you in trouble because Deanne is a saint, and she really, and that's part of it, is she really is a saint. She's
wonderful.
She's amazing. But I got to understand, you know, farming's one thing. I think when you're farming and it's your farm, it's your cattle, you own it.
Yeah.
You feel much closer to it. You feel responsible for it. I got family in farming. When you're showing up to a mine site together and it's whatever, it's a challenging site or a challenging client or the equipment's challenging because it's breaking down, whatever. Mm-hmm. I feel like if I'm you, I wouldn't have near the sense of ownership.
Oh, you still do.
Maybe you as an employee, that's right. Where I don't see that in everybody.
Right. I look at, think of things as if I owned it.
That's beautiful.
And Deanne looks at it the same way. You know, a lot. There's quite a few people that we've worked with on the two different sites that look at it the same way.
Yeah. Really?
Mm-hmm.
So of all the people that you've worked with, because you've been around, right? You were in Northern White. You were then in West Texas. You then went to Ohio. And most of those folks were local folks, right? So those were Appalachia. I mean, not all of them. Oh, we had the
Ohio folks.
Yeah, the Ohio folks. And then now you're back in West Texas. I mean, how many folks do you really think, because, and maybe I'm a little bit cynical from where I sit, but I feel like nobody cares about our equipment as much as I care about it. Do you feel like that there are people that really treat the gear, the customer, the site, like...
There's some people.
What percentage? I'm going to get you in trouble.
Yeah, now you're going to get me in trouble. I'd say 15, 20.
Why do you think those 15 or 20 think of it like their own? Is it their upbringing? Is it from where
it's... I would say upbringing, really, because that's where it is for me, my upbringing and owning our own farm.
If you didn't have that experience, do you think it really changes both on the being able to work with your spouse, but also like, I don't know, you're setting a lot aside to go focus. And that's tough.
For us, it's just become part of a natural. So Blaine was down there for 3 days. The first 2 days, he didn't realize we're husband and wife.
Is that right?
Yeah. Wow.
I just don't see how you turn that on and off.
No, that's where I'm going. Like, I don't, whether it's taking care of equipment, treating things like they're your own, you know, being able to leave things at the gate, like, oh, there is such a, like, the word that's coming to me is just like
discipline or something.
Yeah, going to be the word.
It's a discipline.
So yeah. Does she ever do something, like, because here's my fear, and this is, I think, what most men struggle with in marriage, is when you feel disrespected. It's when, at least for me, when I feel disrespected, she'll do something and she won't even necessarily know. And be like, man, I felt really disrespected. If that happens at home, that's one thing. If that happens amongst my peers on a job site, oh, I'm going through the roof, right? Do you ever,
we had it when we farmed together.
And you just learn over the years?
Yeah.
But
it's no different than another guy you're working with. You should be able to, you know, if you're the supervisor, you should be able to talk to him, yell at him if you have to.
Yep.
Subject's done. Move on.
So you, and this is really wild, you would treat her just the same way you treat another guy on the crew.
Actually, probably a little harder.
That is just...
Because I'm older. I mean, you know, like I said, 31 years together. You know each other inside out. You know your capabilities, your downfalls.
Yeah.
And if anything, it just... Yeah, the expectations were there. And if I had to, you know, say something...
Do people on site, I mean, is it awkward for them, the guys that know that she's your wife? I mean, is it?
No. For the most part, I mean, so she started off in the lab, so
we
did have the interaction.
Yeah, not a ton of crossover.
Right.
Yeah.
And then, but she's always one of those people willing to help.
Yeah, that's amazing. I mean, it's
great.
And the thing that we don't want people to go, well, he's doing that because of her.
Yeah.
Her position. He's doing, you know, don't want any of that.
Yeah.
Because we're two individuals.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
This is funny. And it just, when you said he doesn't, you know, they don't want them thinking about he's getting this because of this or she's getting, I worked for a family friend like in construction, right? Early days. I'm like 18, like in between college years. And my dad told me basically like, do not make this family friend of ours ever regret for one second bringing you on. Right. Because, and I think there's an attitude there of like, no, I'm going to go twice as hard because I don't ever want anyone ever thinking anything other than I am doing this role. And frankly, I'm doing it well.
Right. And, you know, probably where I had really good training on that. So back when I was 20 years old, I was a auto parts manager for like a O'Reilly's.
Used to
be called Champion.
Yeah.
Down in Minneapolis. I'm from northern Minnesota.
I love he says
we can't
down.
Tell.
No, I love how he says down. When you hear down Minneapolis, do you know how far north the United States you have to be to be
down? He has no accent or anything.
Thank you for saying that, by the way.
You're welcome. But a good friend of mine was an employee at that store that I took over as the store manager's position. Once I found out, my district manager asked me if there's going to be a problem there. He goes, you're going to have to learn friends outside, workers inside. And I think that was really a training point for me.
It's really wild you bring that up because I was probably going to ask you, is it harder working with a friend or a wife?
Yeah.
Because there have been friends of mine that have come in here and we were awesome friends before they came in here and had worked together a lot. And the second you're their boss and you place some accountability or you hold them to a standard of, you know, that's really difficult.
It is.
Young guys especially struggle with that.
But I know he was a true friend of mine because we're still friends today.
Really?
Wow.
Yep.
Was there any strife or turmoil or?
A little bit from what I remember. That's been a few years ago.
I won't date you. but to me, I mean, seriously, I think with a wife, you know, at least the way I think about marriage, when you're married, you're married. Divorce isn't in the cards.
No.
You knock down, drag out, whatever. You are married.
Yeah.
With a friend, it's different. You're not, there's no vows. You don't put a ring on, whatever. And so if a friend, if you have a fallen out with a friend, it's unfortunate, but it happens. With a wife, you can kind of, you know, let some time pass, mend it, whatever. I think one of the biggest struggles, and you see this a lot in construction, we see it in mining, you know, we hire a guy on, he turns out to be a really good employee. So we're like, hey, let's make some network hires. And yeah, he brings three of his buddies.
Yep.
And he thinks, oh, it's going to be the best, right? I live with these guys or whatever. Yeah. Or we grew up together.
We hang out.
We hang out.
We know each other.
We rode dirt bikes together. I want to bring them on. And the next thing you know, one of them is managing the others, or one of them gets promoted and the others don't.
Yeah.
It can quickly, you know, destroy friendships. I've seen it, you know, a lot.
Yep.
You know, and I think it's one of the things that people struggle with.
It can destroy friendships or build friendships.
Talk about the build friendships.
So, like with my buddy, I had to discipline him, but we're still friends today. He respects me for what I had to do back then. He's one of the guys that he's more of a brother to me than my friend.
Really? Well, I mean, I've seen guys that don't know each other.
It proved that friendship.
Yeah, and I've seen guys that show up on a crew and don't know each other.
And build that.
And build it.
Yep.
You know, and it's like
yes, guys that... that we've definitely seen. They live together, they forge, they have that shared experience, and boom.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is large industry, small world.
Yeah.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, it is crazy, especially in the world of frac sand specifically. Yep. It's crazy how many sites there are, but... It's like once you get into frac sand, you just jump site to site to site to site.
The crew we had in Ohio, I'd worked with Jason in Wisconsin and Texas. I'd worked with Luke and Sam in Louisiana.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah. Worked with Jared in West Texas and Louisiana.
All really good guys.
Yep. All really good site guys. I'm currently at, their managers is actually my very first manager.
Oh, really?
That's
That is wild. Small world.
Large, what, big industry, small world? Or would you say large industry?
Large industry, small world.
Yeah, I love that. It's so true. So, you know, we have a ton of young folks. The industry is getting more and more young folks. I think if we do our job well,
we better.
You know, we're going to continue to bring more young people into the industry. And you saw it. I mean, there's a guy, and I never really shouted him out, but there's a guy, Rocky. You remember Rocky in Ohio?
Oh, loved Rocky.
The best.
Miss him.
The best. He's the only guy that's ever came up to me. This is a true story. He came up to me at our employee appreciation dinner, and he might have had a beer or two, and he comes up and he says, hey, I think we need to do a boot allowance for the site, because it's muddy and everything else. And I'm like, yeah, you know, what are your thoughts? And he says, well, I think we need $150 for a boot allowance. And I said, okay, well, that's, you know, that's not a terrible idea. He said, yeah, I've been eyeing this pair of snakeskin cowboy boots, and I need is $150, and they're mine. And he's that kind of guy. But he, you know, I love seeing young people. And he's a young guy, but I love seeing young people that are having fun, that show up to work, they get dirty. You know, the sky's the limit in this industry.
Rocky was he's a bulldozer.
Yeah.
Yep. You can point, direct, ask him to do anything. One of those guys that wants to learn. And he's not afraid of getting dirty.
Well, and I think he's humble enough. I didn't work alongside him or anything like that, but every time I sat down with somebody different that night at that party, you know, they'd point over and say, oh, you know, look at Rocky over there. He's talking to somebody. And they would tell a story about him. And he was humble. He wanted to learn. And he wasn't afraid to kind of show up and, like you said earlier, just work his way up through. He always wanted to do more. How much work can I pick up? What skill can I learn? I think that is probably the secret to this industry and capitalizing on some of the, you know, opportunity that's out there for young guys.
Oh, absolutely. Yep.
I'm curious, when you think about someone like Rocky, and I like thinking about examples. You know, your first words were, that dude's a bulldozer, right? Or that kid's a bulldozer, which I love. I'm curious, like, what other things are you looking at that you're thinking, good early sign? Because I think we talk a lot about values and hard work and all these things, but a lot of those show up over time,
right?
Like it's really hard, other than just telling people, oh, I work hard, you know, or I'm going to be driven every day. Like, you kind of got to earn that. I'm curious, like, early, what are you seeing that you're like, that's an indicator that I think Rocky has it versus Thomas doesn't or whatever.
So if once you give their job assignments for the day, let's say they've completed it, Rocky's went out looking for something else. What else is there to do?
He didn't sit down.
No. He'd find the shovel, go and clean this up, or maybe in the control room asking questions about what's a plant doing, or asking questions, you know, hey, come over and look at this. This seems a little odd. You know, but somebody that is self-motivated.
Yeah.
And that's those are going to be the guys that are really going to excel.
But I think that's great advice because, you know, if you're a young person taking a new role, my job is quote unquote done for the day. And by the way, I don't care if you're in an office or on a site or whatever. Right. I think this is really awesome. You're not just, oh, okay, time to go home. Right. It's like, well, what else is there?
Yeah.
I think it is, you know, I've done this a lot. I've looked back on, and I compare myself to Patton a lot. Patton's one of our young guys who I hired when he was 18 as kind of an intern, and then it's kind of transformed from there. But I look back and think about how annoying I was, or how annoying I had to be to people when I was 18, 19, 20 years old.
In order to get those opportunities.
Yeah, and I was going to ask you, when you said Rocky's bumping into the control room and saying, hey, look at this, I almost, and this is no dig at Rocky, I love the guy to death, but you almost have to be annoying, you know, especially once your job is done. Go annoy somebody until they give you something, you know?
Absolutely. complete your first task.
Yeah.
Look for more.
Yeah. And whether that's, I want to get in this piece of equipment. You hear it all the time. The haul truck driver who, man, I want to get in a dozer. I want to get in a dozer or an excavator, whatever the thing is. I sat in meetings when I was young, and I'm sure I asked the dumbest questions and annoyed the heck out of my uncle, my cousin, you know, our customers. But I think, you know, looking back and even kind of watching some of the young people that we've had here, you know, if you're so excited about learning more that you're doing it to the level where you're almost annoying people, you're going to learn things. Like, you're going to excel.
And my thing is, I don't even think it's reserved for young people.
No.
And I'm not putting words in your mouth, but like, I bet you did it when you were a laborer on that Northern White frac sand site.
Absolutely. And ask the questions. Show up on time. Show up early. Ask questions. Talk to the crews that are coming off. Find out what was going on beforehand.
Yeah.
Be asking the simple questions.
Yeah.
And people will recognize that. And
it's amazing how simple, you know, it really is. And I think it's amazing when you talk about young people or talk to young people. I mean, I hate when I say this, but we're not going to name names. We've got a young person who's here in the company and doesn't show up on time, doesn't ask questions, doesn't go the extra mile, really acts like they could care less, you know. And everyone can see it. Everyone can feel it. When you compare that person to someone else who sits in a meeting and won't let the meeting end until they've got an action item list, they've asked all the questions, you know, everyone's like rolling their eyes like, yeah, dude, we got another meeting to go to. Let's get this one done. Almost to the level of being annoying, you compare those two people and then you look 10 years down the road, it's very easy to see who's going to be successful and who's not.
Yeah.
And that's whether you're a laborer, operator, whatever, plant operator,
any industry.
Yeah.
Not just any industry.
Yeah. And it's not easy. We said this a couple episodes ago. It's not easy, but it's simple, right? These activities.
Oh, it's why when we talked about discipline and just the discipline that you bring in a lot of ways, right? Working with friends, working with a spouse, understanding what needs to get left at the gate. Like that is not easy.
No.
It takes a lot of work.
Yeah.
But it is simple. Like and I think I just that's the biggest theme I'm taking, like, is just that discipline and willing to commit to that discipline day after day. And again, whether it's Rocky or whoever, like, just not doing it once, not asking a question once. Oh, good job, you got your gold star.
Right.
No, continue, it's asking it every single day. Shift. Like,
yeah.
It's a great, great reminder of the discipline required.
So we've given people a crash course on how to work with their wives. That right there is
And friends. Valuable. And friends.
And friends, which are both very difficult to do. You have a saint of a wife. My wife is an absolute saint sent from heaven.
Same.
Your wife is a saint. Yeah. I know that. Yeah. You know, if you had to talk about how you have a successful career, and we talked about some of the little things, but you go from a dairy farmer to a laborer to, you know, a supervisor, and then you jump all over the country doing what you're doing. You're now doing the same thing for us. How do you have a successful career for young people? Because there's, I would say our demographic that listens to this probably trends a little bit younger.
Yeah.
Like if you
sub 40.
Now you don't have any kids, right?
No. No, we got out of the house. One son.
Oh, that's right. Out of the house.
He's 28.
So do you give him advice on his career?
When he is first getting into it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What is advice you give somebody, whether it's your son or the general public? Like, what would you tell Rocky? You know, how do you have a successful career in this business?
Don't be afraid to ask questions. Keep your options open. Watch what other people are doing.
Mm-hmm.
Don't get involved in that group that you shouldn't.
Yeah.
When everybody's huddled around. You know, be personal, yes. But don't get yourself buried
in
the drama.
I've always said...
Drama can be a killer.
Oh, I want to pitch you an idea.
We need that. That is the quote that Sarah needs to run tease of this podcast. Yeah, drama can be a killer. That is amazing.
Yeah, drama kills. I have a theory, and I'd love your perspective on this, Eric, because you've actually been boots in the dirt and lived this life. I think a reality TV show of what's happening day to day in a mine site and the drama that ensues, especially on your bigger site. Yeah, I think we had 110 people there in Ohio.
110, 120.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot that can happen.
There's more drama there than at the beauty salon.
That might be a better one liner. That's scary to think about.
Yeah, okay. Drama can be a killer.
Yeah.
I'm curious if there's other things that you think derail a career. Because I think we talked on the positive side, right? Of like, all right, what advice are you going to give Rocky? What are you saying you got to stay away from?
I'm going to answer that a little differently.
Go ahead.
So your managers can kill your employees' careers. If you don't have a manager that's going to be invested into your employees to help them grow, that will ruin the guy real quick. And whether it's
so true,
somebody that's going to be with that stays within Turner or is wanting to, or somebody that's going to go off.
Yep.
I mean, if you deal with a couple bad managers,
it
kills your motivation.
That's so good. we talked with Paul about this, and it's a great question, because I think one of the faults of our generation, my younger generation, you know, the Gen Z, how does a Rocky put up with a bad manager for 6 months and then get a good manager maybe and deal with that bad manager long enough not to quit. Because you've probably had bad managers, right?
Oh, yeah.
Did you just leave them as soon as you recognize they're bad, or did you stick? I mean, how do you navigate a bad manager?
You try and work through it. Hate to say it, but sometimes you go around them.
Yeah,
Paul said that too.
Yeah, and you prove as an employee, you prove your own worth.
Mm. Man, here's the cynical part of me. There's probably employees out there that hear that and they're like, yeah, but. Dude, I'm working for a bad manager. How do I prove my worth to the next level boss? You know, I'm the best home man they got. I'm the best this guy or that guy. You know, is it just time? Is it just staying?
It's time, but so maybe you're not talking to your supervisor as a direct, and you talk to the manager on site. But manager on site's also watching what you're doing. You know,
yeah,
they might just be walking through, but they're watching what employees are doing.
Yeah, and if you're doing what Rocky does, which is all the time staying busy,
you recognize
if you're sitting down and the manager happens to walk through and he sees you sitting down playing on your phone, little things like that, they're going to notice.
Yep.
You know, it's funny. Every time I go on site, you know, a lot of times we'll go into the job trailer or the office or whatever facilities are on site. And it's always funny to me. It's like when you enter in like an old garage and you flip the lights on, like what animals kind of scurry, what spiders are. It's a lot like that on mine sites. And I'm not saying we've got a bunch of folks that do this, but it's funny when any upper management or owner walks into a facility.
Oh yeah.
People scurry. And it's like, well, if you're scurrying when I walked in, that means, you know, you feel guilty about something or maybe you just want to stay out of the spotlight, whatever. But that tells me more than the people that, you know, when I walk up, they're like, dude, boss, I'm busy. Like, what do you need from me?
Or they just look up and look right back down. They're like, I don't care.
Yeah. I got a story about a guy, Channing, who's up in Montana. The first time I met him, he was too busy to shake my hand.
Yeah.
And I didn't feel shysted, like, oh, this guy, you know, he's got an attitude, whatever. He was working. He was like, dude, I am trying to make you money. Let me go back to work. Yeah. Appreciate you're here. Hope you have a good time. He was not hanging out, like, waiting for someone to come in and catch him on the computer.
Right.
You know, so there's something to be said about that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, I'm curious the other pitfalls that you've seen. Cause again, some of this is even back to like dairy farming. Like you're seeing hard work getting applied in a lot of different, frankly, a lot of different parts of the country, but also even like a lot of different industry spaces. Like, what are the other ones and again, whether it's your son, Rocky, whoever, that you're like, hey, you got to stay away from this.
Got to stay out of the drama, as we discussed. Yep. Stay away from the rumor mill.
Yeah.
Don't be one of those people, because that gets rumors upon rumors upon rumors, you know. And just, it's more just being there and showing up and doing your job.
Yeah. Yeah. So a little bit in the being there is just the absenteeism side of things, or like.
How many days of work have you missed?
Yeah, that's kind of where I'm going.
Like, are you a guy that says, I've not missed a day of work in 29 years?
No. So last time I've missed work, it's been July of 20.
Okay. So.
Man, it's 3 years ago.
Yeah, so it's been a long time.
COVID.
You got COVID.
Were you even allowed to show up to work?
No.
Yeah, so he didn't admit.
Okay, that, well, so let's take that one off the table.
When's go before. Time before that?
Well, the party you were down, I missed half a day.
Well, hey, that is on you. That party lasted way too late that night. But hey, the customer was at that party, so. The next day, if we were a little less productive, the customer had a great time.
I don't know, probably a handful of times probably less than a dozen times in my career.
And we're talking a 30-year span?
Yeah.
Okay. How many games did Brett Favre miss, though? I mean, it's I say that jokingly, but yeah. It's the thing, right? Yeah. He doesn't, you know, you play hurt, you get injured.
Cal Ripken, my
you show up on days when you don't want to, you know?
Yep.
Yeah.
And if you don't want to, be honest about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. At least if you show up and you're talking to your boss, like, dude, I'm under the weather, but yeah. What can I do to add value today?
Yeah.
I'm under the weather. My brain's not with it today, whatever the case may be.
Yeah. And it's amazing how many people who are not with it and their brain's not there. And we all have bad days. I mean, I have bad days.
Heck yeah.
But I've learned, and it's funny you say this, I've learned in really probably the past year, or maybe 2 years, on my bad days, I am better off by not inflicting my bad day on everybody else.
Yep.
You know, I'll be head down, I'll go work on something, but there's no reason for my bad day to distract other people from their day. And if you can just be honest and like, you know, I tell you and Patton this every once in a while, I'm like, dude, I'm in a bad mood today. I can't tell you why.
I'm just going to
yeah, leave them alone.
I just need some time, you know.
Well, and you focus on something, you be productive, and it's amazing. You get focused on that, and end of that day, you're like, hey, that wasn't a waste.
Yeah.
And now come in the next day, and you're like, hey, all right, I'm ready, right? It's just there's – I knew there's more there. And that's why I wanted to ask again, because I think there are these and again, they might be simple.
Right.
But having an attitude of I'm not going to inflict my bad day on other people and I'm still going to be there and create value. Yep. Like that is hard. There's a discipline in that.
Right. And there too, if your supervisor or managers know that you're having a rough day, they can help address it.
Yeah.
We're all there together. We spend more time on the job sites than we do with our families.
Yeah, that's so true.
So the job site becomes your family.
Yeah. And so if you can show them
the support.
Yeah, yes. And if you can have conversations with your family about, you know, hey, dad, mom, brother, sister, whatever, I'm having a bad day, have it with the people that you're working with.
Yeah.
You know, so you drive across country, you're leaving West Texas, you're pulling, you are literally pulling a horse trailer, right?
Yes.
Just stop in, we do a podcast, you bring some very elusive beer from Wisconsin.
The beer.
Which is, it's really good. I wonder if I can sell this to one of the local beer places since it's so elusive.
You could sell it.
So
we're going to drink it, but you could sell it.
You're going to grab your last horse, right? You got last a horse in Ohio.
Yep.
You're grabbing it and you're headed back to West Texas.
Last horse and then the last few items in the house.
Okay. What are you looking forward to? Because you've jumped around, right? And you look back, and it's funny to do this. You look back, you're like, man, I started in dairy farming. I went into Northern White. I went to West Texas. Somewhere in there, you went to Louisiana. I didn't even know that. You go to Ohio, you spend, how long did you spend in Ohio, a year and a half?
14 months.
Okay. Now you're back in West Texas. Yeah. What are you looking forward to? And maybe it's specifically with us, with our company. Maybe it's not, you know, because I know Deanne, you know, she took an amazing, which I am super proud that she got the job she did based on what she's done. It's amazing. I don't want to be egotistical and like go there with the conversation, but I'm really proud of what she's doing.
Oh, absolutely. But she got that opportunity and from the experience with Turner.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Trampoline.
And yeah, she just
boom.
Boom. You know, the advancement that she got was a 3-4 step.
That's crazy.
And yeah.
Yeah, I mean, when Jared, so Jared, for the listeners, was your boss, right? In some way, shape, or form, her boss.
Yep, because we kind of actually set it up so
she didn't report to you. Yeah,
right, so it'd be no conflict that way. So
yeah,
there's also discipline in that.
Yeah.
Yes.
And when he came to me and said, hey, this is what, you know, this other company has realized in her and sees in her and wants to, I was like, that, please. We can't match it, but that makes me so happy to see that catapult.
Yeah.
So and cool.
It was still a tough decision for her because.
Oh, I know. When I see her, I'm going to have words with her. And I'm going to find her. No, but I'm proud of her.
Yeah. That's awesome. It is a great opportunity for her that she really could not pass up.
Yeah. So now she's in Texas. You're going back to Texas.
Yep.
You're taking the horse.
Yep.
What are you excited about? Like, what are you looking forward to?
I want to see what Texas does for us again.
Yeah.
Same with Turner. Looking to see what we're doing down there is exciting. Yep. A lot of opportunity.
Yeah.
Down there.
Well, we just bid, I think, 4 more sites down there, non-frac sand sites. True. So, Texas is one of those states. It's always been a state that's been good to us. Yep. It's a good state. It's a phenomenal
state.
We
love Texas. Yeah. You know, once we heard what was happening with our site here in Ohio, we're already fearing we're going back to Texas.
Yeah. Yeah. Texas, it doesn't stop. Well,
no. There's so much variety within the environment.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many things to do down there.
It's its own economy down there.
And
oh, yeah.
She absolutely loves the hot weather. So.
Does she?
Well, there you go.
What was the temperature today?
110.
110. Oh, you know, and that
might be a little warm.
That's a little warm. And I would hate to be a horse in a trailer getting pulled across the country. And
So it'll be a 3-day trip back.
Is it really? Yeah.
I'll stop every 8-10 hours.
And what do you do? Just ride it around?
No, there's actually horse hotels.
Oh my goodness.
So where you can
this is a whole different episode.
We're gonna
start a new episode now on horse hotels.
So where you can board them overnight. They can get off the trailer, eat.
What does a horse pay for a hotel?
$35 a night.
Oh my god!
It's cheaper. Wow. It's cheaper than us.
Now, does he get it? Does he get a bale of hay? Does he?
Yeah. Well, you always carry hay and water with them. But there's a grass pasture for them. And
I mean, I don't know. Amazing. I don't know. I mean, my uncle, my family, they've got horses. They raise horses and cattle. But I've never met someone taking horses across the country. Right? Did you bring these horses from Wisconsin?
So they've gone from Wisconsin to Texas to Ohio back to Texas.
Oh my word, that's amazing. These poor animals are over the road trips.
I don't know.
Horse hotel.
Maybe the variety of the scenery where they get to where they are.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Oh, that's super cool. That's really cool.
That's our hobby.
So horses are your hobby?
Yeah.
And they like Texas?
Yeah.
They like Wisconsin more?
I think they probably like the variety and not the 110-degree temp.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's, of course, obviously, selfishly, we love having you. I've got problems with Deanne. I'm going to have to find her. I'm going to find out where she's at in Texas. But you guys are back together.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you're not far. I don't know how far apart you guys are down there. Not that far.
We work apart, but we're home every night.
You're home every night.
Yep.
Which is awesome. Now, to me, it seems like a huge plus that you're on different sites,
but maybe not.
I'm sure I'm gonna get like flack for this episode on, you know, I'd be the best person to work with, and it's like I think my wife would be the best person to work with. I'm not worried about her. I'm worried.
They keep you in line.
Well,
yeah. The problem is us.
I'm worried about me.
I know, but he's got the discipline. It's why I keep coming back to it. I'm like, man, I don't have that level of discipline. Like
Thomas knows me well enough to where, you know, if we're playing golf, we're in business, we're in a meeting, we sat down in a boardroom together and trying to settle a lawsuit. It's him and I and executives sitting across from us. They owe us a lot of money.
Yep.
Big company. I'm not going to name the company. Tens of billion dollar company.
Yeah.
And they made this bogus offer to settle this lawsuit. And I was like, that's insane. Nope.
Yeah.
And I was so mad. And so he's seen me in some of the worst moments. So he can, and obviously so is my wife. outside of the business.
But, sure.
You know, he knows how to take me. He knows when to come into the office and when to, you know, let things simmer. It's still off this recording, I'm going to have to ask you so many questions because I still, it still blows my mind.
Yeah. Yeah. That'll be the next Spotted Cow.
I still don't get it. But it's awesome. And it's me. It's not her. It's me.
No, and that's what I mean. Yeah, there's so much buried there. To me, what I'm reflecting on is my own discipline.
You like do consulting, and so does Michelle. Could you consult with Michelle? Like, you guys are...
No. I mean, we're happy to help each other, yeah. Right? And it's bounce more... ideas. Yeah, bounce ideas, brainstorm, all that. But, like, in it...
Like, in the detail. Like, you're working on a project.
Yeah, and I don't know. Because I'm going to have an opinion, and she's going to have an opinion, and they might be different.
And then after the work day, you got to take the work hat off.
I know.
And you're like cooking dinner together, I know. And you're still thinking about how she's wrong about her opinion,
and,
right?
And I'll actually go even further, and I'll share a little more on the personal side. And Keaton knows this, and I know he's like somewhat picking at this.
Well, I've dug myself a hole. I'm trying to pull you into the hole that I've dug. No.
And he knows this, but I met my wife at work.
So did I.
So
you did?
Yeah.
I thought you joined the dairy farm because of her.
Well, that's why we dairy farmed. Well, so there's a 2-year span that she was, after she graduated high school, that she worked for the same auto parts company I did.
Oh,
there it is.
So now it comes out.
It's funny, and it's why he's asking. So yeah. I met her at work, and Michelle will tell this very openly, and Keaton knows because he's heard this story. When Michelle first met me, she did not like me. To have kind of a working relationship where it has been forged through fire and Michelle and I really started to connect after she left where I worked, right? Which, and again, it's this exact point where it's like, well, we knew each other and kind of like, you know, I'd become friends a little, although she'll tell you a very different version of that. And it's just like that whole, like, in it together, in the details, I don't know. I don't know. Like, we never have. And so I don't know. Even though I met her,
wild.
We never got that far.
So she worked at an auto parts store for you. You're the boss.
No, she worked at the corporate office.
Oh, so she's the boss.
Yeah. And I was store manager for one of their franchise or corporate stores. So they had like 50 corporate stores, and it was a mutual friend that introduced us.
And you guys just decide to randomly pick up and start dairy farming?
Her dad was getting out of it. And
opportunity.
Like, opportunity.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Opportunity knocks.
Discipline and opportunity. It's the two words.
Yeah, it's wild. And I think, I mean, obviously you guys were meant for each other. She is phenomenal. How long you guys have been married?
28.
28 years.
I'm at 14. I'm half of that number.
Yeah, I celebrate 11 tomorrow.
Oh, congratulations.
Hey, honey, happy anniversary.
This is going to come out after your anniversary.
Yeah, it's going to come out 3 weeks from now. But it's been fun. I mean, Eric, it's the moment I met you, you were smiling. You were having a good time. You were on site. You're like, you know, it's different. And it's same for your wife. Yeah. I don't think I ever... have seen her, you know, not smiling or happy. I'm not going to dig you a hole. We're not going there. I've dug myself a hole. I'm not digging you a hole. Every single person that you mention the Thran's name, the Thran's name, every single person's like, oh, yeah, they're awesome. Yeah. And so, you know, it's been an honor to have you in the company. I fully intend to get Deanne back.
Yes.
She's coming back. Yes. We just got to figure out when. But super proud of what she's done and what she's doing now. It's awesome. It's really why we exist. Not to get corporate-y and cheesy, but you know, our whole mission is to make life better in the industry. Yep. My hope is, and I don't know, I mean, you know, you're living it. My hope is that her life's a little bit better for some of the things that she's gone through here.
Yeah, absolutely. And just goes back to the opportunities that she was given year.
Yeah.
Gave her the opportunities to move on.
Yeah. Well, she's legit. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Somebody recognized it, and you know, it's really cool to see what she's doing.
Cold contact off from LinkedIn.
No way.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Yeah,
she didn't go looking as a
LinkedIn. By the way, contact. That's also the power of social network.
Well, yeah. I mean, if you're listening and you're not on LinkedIn, and I don't mean you like have an account and you log in every month or whatever. If you're not active on LinkedIn, you have to be.
Crazy if you're not. You're doing yourself a disservice.
Even our own people. I mean, selfishly, I'd love for you guys to stay here, but there is so much value in people showcasing what they do, interacting with a broad network. Oh, yeah. I mean, it's now is the time. I mean, this is a weird concept. And again, I'm an owner, so I'm allowed to say this. Employees have all the leverage. In our industry,
yeah.
If you're a good employee,
oh,
there's 10 companies standing in line waiting to hire you.
Yep.
There is zero room for a company to kind of just sit back and say, oh, yeah, I've got all these applicants. I don't need you guys. You know, yep. you want to quit tomorrow. I've got three guys standing waiting for you to join. That's not the case in the mining world.
No.
So, I mean, selfishly, I think if you're not on LinkedIn, maybe don't join so we don't have to work. But as a human, I think there's so much power in LinkedIn.
Oh, yeah.
That's my pitch for LinkedIn. Can we get paid by LinkedIn?
I know. They could be a sponsor, too. We talk about it a lot.
Yeah.
This has been fun, Eric. I appreciate you stopping by on your way back to Ohio. I hope that you have a safe trip back for the horse. I hope the horse enjoys the horse hotels.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
I mean, they generally seem to do.
It's wild. Yeah. I guess they don't have a choice.
Yeah.
Gives them a chance to get off the trailer, stretch your legs, roll around.
That's amazing. Well, I've enjoyed it. I hope you guys have enjoyed it. We're going to do it again soon. Again, thank you for this spot, New Glarus Spotted Cow. If you haven't had it,
go to Wisconsin.
You can't even order it online?
No.
Really? Well,
go to Wisconsin.
Yeah. Cool. Thank you, guys. We'll do it again soon.
See ya.
See ya.
This is Turner Mining Live. This is Turner Mining Live.